You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, an astronomer tells us about solar eclipses through the ages and a big one coming up next year that we don't want to miss.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. It's been a busy week in Wisconsin. On Wednesday, there was a federal hearing on Wisconsin's voter ID law. U.S. District Judge James Peterson did not suspend the controversial voter ID law, but he did order Governor Walker's administration to make changes to how it handles people who need voting credentials.
We'll find out how lawmakers in the state are reacting and look at some of the other top news of the week with Robert Menser. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He is based in Wausau, and he joins us every Friday with the state's biggest news. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Is it Friday?
It's Friday already.
I'm completely losing track these days.
Well, I'm glad you're at your phone then. Well, let's start with a look at that voter ID law. 101, what was at issue in this hearing?
Yeah, so this has been a big story this week, of course. 101 is that a federal judge ordered Wisconsin to provide more information to people about how they can get an ID to vote. This followed the judge's finding and the state's own finding that Division of Motor Vehicles employees had not been well trained, were giving people inconsistent information, and were not following the law equally when it came to issuing voter IDs for free, which you are entitled to. If you need an ID to vote, the state owes you one for free. The state can't charge someone to vote. This was sort of the outcome was sort of a disappointment, I think, to people who, you know, oppose the voter ID law. They really wanted to see the judge actually suspend the law or strike down the law for this coming election, and that did not happen.
Right. There were some remedies that the judge required, though.
Right, absolutely. The state has to provide some sort of a simple card that tells people exactly what they're entitled to and how to get their ID. There have to be education campaigns. They can't be only online because the assumption is that many of the people that the state needs to reach with this information are not people who are listening to this story right now or following a lot of this election news online. So there will be efforts to educate folks, and that's the remedy.
And what's been the reaction from lawmakers to what came out of this week?
I think without a doubt, for those who favor voter ID, Republicans who passed the voter ID law and favor it, this was seen as a good outcome. They've been embarrassed, and voter ID advocates have been, with the very strong language that the judge has issued, with the findings that are factual findings that the law was not implemented correctly by these DMVs. So this allows them to say, all right, well, there were some problems, but now we're going to be able to get back on track.
Rounding up the top stories of the week with Rob Menser from USA Today Network Wisconsin. Moving on now to the newest Marquette University Law School poll. People watching this for signs of where the elections are going. Presidential side, Hillary Clinton, 44% of likely voters. Donald Trump, 37%. Libertarian Gary Johnson with 9%. Jill Stein with 3%. So the margin widened some from the last one in favor of Clinton, Rob.
Right, and this is what's fascinating about this poll is the timing. So I know folks listened to the pollster Charles Franklin on this show earlier this week, but it's just so interesting. So as it happened, it turned out to be a random natural experiment that half of the poll was taken before the release of the tapes in which Republican candidate Donald Trump describes forcing himself on women. That the polls taken Thursday found a 1-point lead by Donald Trump. Then on Friday, the tape is released. Polls taken that day, calls made that day for the same poll found Clinton up by 6 points. By Saturday and Sunday, when the news had been widely disseminated about that tape, Clinton was up 19 points in people who answered their phones on Saturday and Sunday.
We'll get back to that presidential race in a moment. Let's look at the Senate side of that survey, though. 46% for Russ Feingold, 44% for Ron Johnson. Feingold has led, I think, in every poll,
right,
but this is one of the closest margins we've seen.
That's right. That's right. Incumbent Ron Johnson has never been ahead, but this does show some tightening, and it appears not to be a total a fluke or an outlier. There have been at least two other polls that showed some of the same movement. It's interesting because it's just very rare that people actually split their tickets when they go to vote. But to some extent, it may be that Donald Trump is so toxic that people really do separate him in their minds from other members of the Republican Party. Who knows? Who knows if this is the case, but it is possible. And for Johnson, that's almost a necessity. Johnson needs voters who don't like Trump to show up and, you know, write in Ronald Reagan or whatever on the top of the ballot and then still vote for him for a Senate.
Well, Ron Johnson and Russ Feingold will debate tonight at 7. You can listen to that, by the way, on Wisconsin Public Radio, WPR.org, or the WPR app. Rob, anything you're looking for in that debate tonight?
I mean, you know, it's always a bit of a question how many people watch these debates, right? So in the presidential debate, you're looking at 80 million people plus, and it will be a struggle to get those sort of numbers for the Senate debate. But for sure, it's interesting. It's an interesting case because Ron Johnson, the incumbent, has been trying to position himself as the outsider against Russ Feingold, who is not in the Senate, but of course was a longtime senator. So it'll be interesting to see how they butt heads. I assume Feingold's strategy will be, you know, Trump, 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 Trump. Johnson is not a big Trump guy, but he endorses Trump. He is voting for Trump. So that will likely be the hit against him.
Speaking of Donald Trump, back to the presidential race. Trump has started to run TV ads in Wisconsin, which he had not been doing. Here's a little sample of one of those ads.
In Donald Trump's America, working families get tax relief. 5 million new jobs created. Wages up 6%. Small businesses thrive. The American dream achievable again. Change that makes America great again. Donald Trump for president.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
So a very positive message there, in contrast to what's happening on the campaign trail, the accusations and angry responses from Donald Trump. Given the polls, do you think these ads can move the needle?
So it is unusual that Wisconsin has gone so long without television ads in this cycle. Hillary Clinton, who's bought a lot of ads in a lot of swing states, hasn't actually been up on TV in Wisconsin either. It's a form of persuasion, especially late in the game. These are trying to reach probably people who have been tuned out to some extent. Who knows, right? I'm a cord cutter. I haven't actually seen any of these ads on television, but I do have a 5-year-old son, and I can report that the Trump campaign has been heavily targeting the 5-year-old demographic because that very ad that you just played is run ahead of about 60% of the Minecraft videos that he watches on YouTube.
Interesting. And yeah. Has it swayed his vote at this point?
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, listen, he's
at age 5.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's turn to another story now. People are watching what's going on in North Dakota, protests at a pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipeline, led mainly by Native American groups. Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney had sent some Wisconsin deputies there. He's taking them back now after just a week. What's the story there, Rob?
So, right, so there's massive protests in North Dakota over this oil pipeline. At issue is that it runs through some Native American territory, and there's a legal battle about that. And the protests have been huge, right? It's a locus of the environmental movement. But as you know, North Dakota does not have a lot of people in it, so the sheriff's department there and in that region felt they needed some additional help to manage all this. Madison sent some. There are some. It's I think 10 or 12 from Dane County, 43 from Wisconsin as a whole. But it turns out that these protests are very popular in Madison and in Dane County. The pipeline itself is very unpopular. The sheriff of Dane County is an elected official. So he heard from his constituents and talked to, he says, a cross-section of folks and decided that when these deputies come back, he's not sending more.
And finally, Rob, you had a very popular tweet. You were popular in the Twitterverse about Ken Bone. He's one of the citizens who asked a question at the presidential debate town hall on Sunday night. So what did you tweet? What got everyone's attention?
Yeah, so this is one of those weird stories that crop up in election year. Everybody loves Ken Bone, and it was a internet sensation. And he said, came out on Good Morning America and said his famous red sweater came from Kohl's in Wausau. And I'm an investigative journalist. I'm interested in the truth, and I know that the truth is Kohl's is in Rib Mountain. So I couldn't let that stand. So listen, we corrected the record on that.
You fact checked that.
That's
well,
right.
I'm glad you're keeping everybody honest. Rob, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
That's Robert Mentzer, storytelling editor for the USA Today Network, Wisconsin. He is based in Wausau. He joins us every Friday to talk about the state's biggest news of the week.